Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Welcome into the Gramlich and McLean podcast here on a Friday, busy weekend of college football to break down and tell you guys what's going to happen. This weekend in the ACC, we're going to get to all of that. First off, my partner, Eric McLean. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm living the dream, Kelly. Thank you for asking. But how about you? I've got to brag on my girl here for a second, guys. Kelly was just named a finalist for the South Carolina Sportscaster of the Year, a.k.a. she is an absolute superstar. I am humbled and honored that she allowed me to be on this podcast with her, guys. She carries the weight of the show. Kelly, how cool was that? Because you didn't know about it, right, at all?
Oh, I had no idea. Thank you, Mac, for bringing that up.
It's not like something that you like fill out and submit. Like,
no,
pick me.
I did not. It was crazy. I was doing the radio show yesterday or whatever day it was, and one of our mutual friends, Grace Rayner, who writes for The Athletic, covers Clemson. She is a star in the field.
Absolutely.
And she and I have become friends because we're a couple of the women that have covered Clemson and been at different stuff. She's much more on the beat than I am. So we've become friends. And she texted me. It was the last segment of the radio show. And she texted me and I saw my phone light up and I just kind of looked over at it because I was on air. And it said, congratulations on your nomination as a South Carolina Sportscaster of the Year. And I had to read it four times. Like, what is she talking about? So then I responded. I said, what?
What?
I truly had no idea.
What do you mean?
So then she sent me the link and everything, and it was really cool. And someone that you and I both work with, Wes Durham, was nominated for the Georgia one. So that was cool.
I think he's won it like 100 years in a row.
Sure,
so it's not as cool for him.
I'm sure he has.
You know, this is number one. And like, this is legit. Like, it's not some local ragtag thing. This is like national media, big time. This was really, really cool. When I saw Kelly, I was doing like backflips over here. I was so excited.
Well, that's why you're the best, Mac, because you're so supportive.
Come on.
So great. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I don't really know. I guess
Did they like tell you what's next, or all you saw was a tweet? That's the only way you know.
No,
nobody reached out to you or anything?
It's on their website. And I think it's...
Thank goodness you have Twitter. Like,
right?
How else would the heck would you have known? I guess
and
without Grace.
Grace.
But yeah, Grace.
Otherwise, I would not have known. I think they announced the winner at the end of December. And then there's a big banquet in Winston-Salem in June.
That's awesome.
Hopefully.
Yeah, here we go.
Knocking
come on
wood.
That's so cool.
That we can have that happen. So yeah,
no
it was
doubt.
Very cool. It was, you know, when people get stuff or they get an award or something and they're like, I'm so humbled. And most of the time you're wondering if that's true. It was truly very, very humbling to see that. Just being flat out honest.
But and it's a good list. Cool. It's a really cool list of people. I think I've spoken to all of them that you're a part of, and it's a good group, but I think you got the edge. You know where my vote's going, even
well,
though I do not have a vote.
Let's
can't
get
cast
North Carolina on the North or Mac on the North Carolina list now. Come
well,
on.
Well, if that happens, I mean, this podcast is just going to go through the roof. we can't have two award winners on here.
We got to start
lobbying. Congratulations. Super excited for you.
Thank you, Mac. Okay, let's talk a little football. Let's get into, we're going to talk Clemson, Florida State, which is in our big three, which we had EJ Manuel on Wednesday. He was awesome. Also Virginia Tech Pitt, big game this weekend. Liberty, NC State, we got to get into that one. But let's start with a little Florida State talk because there was a great article that was released this past week by a few of our colleagues at ESPN, Andrea Adelson and David Hale, I believe, just talking about what happened at Florida State. And everyone has their theories. Everyone has, you know, what they should do and what should happen. EJ talked about it on Wednesday. They kind of start the article with that 2014 season, Mac, and most ACC fans will remember. They made the playoff that year, Florida State did, coming off the national championship game. But they had a crazy up and down season. Jameis kept getting in trouble. They won four games by a combined 14 points. Then they were blown out in the Rose Bowl. You played in that 2014 game against Florida State. And many say that was almost the beginning of the end. There was some back and forth with Jimbo and the athletic director, Wilcox. The AD went behind Jimbo's back and spoke out to the media and said, Jameis is not playing. Jimbo didn't know that. It was craziness. What do you remember about Florida State and that season, Mac?
Yeah, well, that was a good, you know, thing to bring up because it was just like so much back and forth whether, you know, he was going to play or not. And it was just like, Jameis is playing. No, he suspended a half. And then, like you just said, we hear from the AD or like on social media and stuff, he's out. And I think it was like Friday.
Yes.
Like it's the day we're already in Tallahassee.
Right. And Jimbo says in the article that he already had his game. Well, Jimbo isn't quoted, but people were talking about it, that he already had his game plan ready for Jameis to come back after half.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it was very weird. We prepared that entire week as if he was playing, and not that that, you know, had too much impact on the game, but it was just very strange and like a, almost like a dark cloud over, you know, Tallahassee. When we got there, just the vibe was kind of weird. And then going into the game, it was very strange. You know, they were number one in the country. I can't remember where we were ranked, or if we actually might not have been ranked, or we were close. We lost to Georgia, then won a game, then lost to those guys. So that was the first time like in my life I ever had a losing record, by the way.
I want to say 22nd or 23rd maybe. And then Clemson did drop out after the loss to FSU, but I think they were still ranked.
Very weird. And, you know, just again, the strangeness around that game and really the whole season, like that article, those guys did an amazing job. Andrea and Hale there, they really did their homework, spoke to anyone and everyone that had anything to do with it, that was willing to talk about it. A lot of people, you know, wanted to stay anonymous, but I mean, the way that they reference who it is, it is shocking. And EJ hit a little bit of it with the recruiting and of course players and stuff, but stuff that, you know, he would have no insight on it at all. And so to hear about like how deep rooted these problems are, and even to this day, like they're not even close to getting out of this hole that they're in, it is going to be very interesting. And just stuff that none of us had any insight to, as what's wrong with Florida State? Why are they so bad? So it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, where they can go from here.
One of the biggest things that I took away from that article was the relationship between your head coach and your administration. It has to be there.
Right.
Otherwise, you can't achieve at a super high level. And it wasn't there between Jimbo and the administration at FSU. It just wasn't. And Florida State paid for it, right? That's what happened. That relationship crumbled. And you look at some other programs that are doing well in the ACC right now. You look at Clemson and the relationship between Dabo Swinney and the higher-ups, North Carolina with Mac Brown, even Miami, Manny Diaz and his AD, and even like a Clawson and the AD at Wake. Those guys are on the same page. That's one of my biggest takeaways from FSU. If those two people are disconnected, it's not going to work.
Yeah. And again, it's so much just relationship based trust. So much trust goes into this. And really what this article, you know, made me even more realize. Now, I think I'm a lot, I have more insight and more understanding than a lot of former student athletes and certainly current student athletes, is how much of a business, you know, college football is, college athletics in whole. It is so much of a business. And then you see the money pieces of it and just how crazy it is. It was truly a wild article. If you haven't already read it, go check it out, because it's a long one. You're going to get some good reading time out of it, but it is very insightful, and they do a great job with a deep dive there.
They do. Go read it. Awesome stuff, and stuff that hopefully Mike Norvell can get Florida State out of. I also think that Florida State, as much as I understand the firing of Willie Taggart, I think as we get further removed from that firing, we'll look back and say, Florida State really fired a coach after 21 games.
Right.
That's not fair. Whether it's Willie Taggart or anyone else, even though Taggart looked like he was not capable of doing the job, 21 games, a year and a half as the head coach of a program, to me, that is not enough time. And I never thought I'd be in a position saying, Willie Taggart was wronged, you know?
Right. But yeah, and even to have the insight of the fact that, and maybe we already knew this, I've taken a lot of hits to the head over the years, Kelly, so I forget some things. But to hear that was, FSU was his dream job. Like he had no other job that he wanted. And then to be, you know, treated, handled the way it was, that stinks. Stinks big time for him.
It does. And we all can relate to that, right? You get to your dream and then, hopefully Mac and I can't relate to it in real life, but we can all imagine it. You accomplish right. That dream and then it disappears for you. Let's talk about Florida State in our big three breakdown here, Mac. The first game we're going to discuss in depth, number 4, Clemson travels to Florida State. This is a noon game on ABC. Clemson is a 35.5 point favorite. Mm. Trevor Lawrence is back. We know that. Let's start there, Mac. If I had, I know you've been hit in the head, so maybe you would have believed me or not. But if I had told you in 14 or 15 in the locker rooms, or even 13 after those Clemson FSU games, oh, don't worry, Mac, in 2020, Clemson will be a 35.5 point favorite over Florida State. You just would have never believed me.
I would have called you crazy. Yeah. And again, I still think that, you know, no matter how good Clemson is, where both programs are, it's such a disrespectful number for a Power Five conference opponent. Like, I get it. Clemson's really good and Florida State having their own troubles, but come on, like that's such a unattainable number or expectations that you put on. Now, if a blowout happens, sure, it happens, but it's crazy to me that that is where we're starting with this game. Like when you talk about the expectations for everybody. So now if Clemson only wins by 21, oh, it was a tight game. You know, it was way closer than expected. And, you know, I got to go defend the Clemson Tigers on every platform imaginable why they only won by 3 touchdowns. So we'll start there. I think that's wild. But you just look, you know, Clemson back in action. It's been, you know, 2 weeks since the loss. You know, how are they going to respond? This is their first regular season loss since 2017. So it's going to be very interesting to see what team comes out. You know, I expect we see a very motivated team, a team that wants to come out and kind of prove a point or kind of puff their chest out a little bit, Kelly, and say, hey, don't forget about who we are. I understand. You know, we have that loss. We were down some players, but we're still, you know, the kings of college football, or one of the kings of college football. So I think that's what we're going to see from them. When you talk about concerns for Clemson moving forward, that was the biggest question mark. Are you concerned about Clemson after that Notre Dame loss? Well, for me, there is a yes to that answer, and it's just about overall health. Can you get healthy? Can you keep people healthy? Because this seems like a really banged up Tigers team that, you know, might even be a little bit more banged up than we know, and that we're, you know, given that information on. There's a ton of guys that are day to day that we probably won't know until Saturday when they're about to line up. I mean, who is going to line up on the field really for both teams? Because Florida State has, I mean, they have a list of people out who, you know, is longer than a CVS receipt, Kelly, to you know, just channel my inner Jordan Cornette there. But so it's going to be interesting to see who lines up for each of these teams come Saturday afternoon.
Both teams have had injury issues. There's no doubt about that. FSU's down to one quarterback in Jordan Travis, who isn't even fully healthy.
And I mean, okay, look at who you're playing. You're playing Clemson, who is coming after your quarterback, right, and is going to hit your – what is about to happen? I mean, do they have, you know, walk-ons? Do they have a punter that they can use as a quarterback? It is going to get very interesting Saturday.
I was thinking about that. You know, Clemson has played their punter at quarterback. on Tate Rodemaker, is he out?
I can't keep track of it. I have no clue quarterback-wise who's there.
He's an option for them. He's currently listed third on their depth chart. It's possible they could go to him, but beyond that, maybe the punter.
You just put your best athlete back there and just run around. Yeah. Just hope he doesn't get hit. Figure it out.
What do you want to see from Clemson, just from that bounce back perspective? Like you said, healthier, Trevor's back. Some guys are back on defense. We'll still see. We're still waiting on, I won't believe that Tyler Davis or Mike Jones are back until we actually see them on the field.
Yeah, seriously.
But what do you think Clemson fans are looking for from this game? What should they want to see?
You know, I really think you're going to see a team that you haven't in quite some time. You know, I was talking with Packer on Packer and Durham earlier this week that, you know, Clemson is now chasing somebody, that they haven't had to chase anybody in the ACC since maybe before my senior year in 2015. So, you know, I think that we can really expect to see a dialed in team, again, a team that has something to prove, and really just goes out there and executes at a high level. If you're a Clemson fan listening, I don't know what else more you could want to see from your team. That and then Trevor Lawrence, is he rusty at all? You know, it's been a long time since he has played in a football game comparatively. So it's going to be interesting to see him. Everything I've read or heard or seen is that he feels like it was the day that he left. He feels like he's at the same level and feeling really good. So those are really the two things that I'm going to be paying very close attention to all afternoon.
Okay, Mac, I'm going to put your feet to the fire here. We'll see what you say. Florida State, as we've mentioned, 35.5 point underdog. Florida State can beat Clemson on Saturday if. This is a fill-in-the-blank Friday. FSU can beat Clemson on Saturday if.
You know, I was thinking really long and hard about this question, Kelly. And the answer, quite frankly, is nothing. There is nothing that FSU can do to win this football game. Now, there are things that are outside of Clemson's control that can happen. Guys can test positive. Guys can be injured and not play. But there is nothing within Florida State's power that they can beat Clemson. And that is beyond crazy to say on this podcast, just the experiences that you and I have both had with that team. And so that's where we are. And that's why it's a 36, 35 and a half point game right now.
I can't disagree. I'm thinking asteroid, perhaps, maybe something of that nature.
Oh, I love it.
I'm sorry,
the
Florida
crazy
State.
Thing. It's
I'm
just
sorry.
What it is. It is what it is. And you know,
as I told
like you
EJ,
said, you
remember?
And I don't want it to be this way.
I said, yes, exactly. EJ, I don't want it like this. Okay. No one wants it to be like this.
Kelly, it's 6-1 versus 1-6. I mean, it's just
I didn't even look at it that way.
Wild, wild.
Oh, man. Let's move on to some closer games, perhaps. Virginia Tech at Pittsburgh. This is the 4 o'clock game on ACC Network. Both teams are 4-4 overall, so both teams really, really need this win. Kenny Pickett is back for Pitt. Remember, Pitt had the game against Georgia Tech last weekend that was postponed, and Virginia Tech lost a heartbreaker, really close game to Miami. And now Virginia Tech's lost two heartbreakers in a row, Liberty and Miami. I want to start with Pittsburgh, Mac, and I was thinking about this as we were getting ready for the pod. Pitt's 4-4 overall. What do you think they could be right now if Kenny Pickett had stayed healthy the whole season? Because that's been one of their biggest downfalls, no doubt.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy to look at because of the close losses. I mean, they had a 1-point loss to NC State, a 1-point missed extra field goal to tie it in overtime loss against Boston College. And then, of course, you get blown out by Miami and blown out by Notre Dame. You know, maybe the Miami game, that maybe swings into your favor if Kenny Pickett is out there.
Yeah, he played in the BC game, so you can't. Now, that game was just, if you make the extra point, you go to overtime, who knows? NC State was a heartbreaker where Pickett threw for 411.
Right, exactly. And maybe Notre Dame is a little bit more competitive. But outside of that, it's just kind of, it just shows that they're that close. And you know, these games, how much a mistake can make, whether it's on offense or defense. So just quite frankly, you know, maybe one win, maybe the Miami game, they win that game with Kenny. But outside of that, they're just right on the cuff. They're one of those bubble teams that just, depending on which way the wind blows and that field goal goes outside of the uprights, you know, they lose a game. But it just goes to show you how close a team can be even when they have a bunch coming back.
It does. And that defense has been great, but at times they've struggled to score, and that was mainly their issue against Miami. But of course, they didn't have Kenny Pickett. Now, I'm seeing that Khalil Herbert is still questionable. We'll see. I think Fuente is optimistic that they can get Herbert back. If Pitt has Pickett, I think in many ways Virginia Tech needs to have Herbert. If they do, what do they look like, Mac? If they don't, it's just going to be a lot of relying on Hendon Hooker, right?
Yeah, and you know, this is a great, you know, kind of strength on strength, if you will. And you know, Virginia Tech being this solid running attack, great offensive line, good backs, good mobile quarterback that just love bread and butter. That's what they do. They run the ball. And then Pitt, you know, they're such a run-stopping team. You see what they were able to do against Notre Dame, a team that loves to run the ball. They really shut down the run. But the biggest thing is just the inconsistencies that we've seen from both of these teams. You know, what team is going to show up with their A game? Are they both going to show up and we have a fantastic classic on our hands? Or is somebody not feeling it on that day and it's a blowout by either side? So it's going to be really interesting to see who shows up. But for Virginia Tech, we'll focus on them a little bit here. If Khalil Herbert isn't the guy, which again, it's a hamstring. It's something that lingers. So I have to think that he is going to be a different guy than what we saw all season long. And maybe do thoughts start creeping in your head about opting out and about, do I really need to keep worrying about this because he basically went from zero to hero in this year, where the Senior Bowl, you know, they tweeted out and said, we didn't even know who this guy was. And now he's, you know, on the cuff of getting an invite to that. And I'm sure, assuming he will, just because of how good of an athlete he's been, do you risk that? Do you risk further damaging your hamstring, which we know how important that is in the game of football, especially at the running back position? You know, is he thinking about that at all? And you know, I never want guys to quit. I've really been kind of struggling with all these opt-outs, but at the end of the day, you've got to do what's best for you and your family, because that is what anybody else is going to do. And so I know everybody wants guys to lay down their life, their future for these teams, but dude, we're 4-4. Like, we're not going anywhere. What are we fighting for if not pride? And at the end of the day, I might go make a couple million dollars and try to play this sport a couple more years and get paid for it. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that goes moving forward. A lot of buzz about Virginia Tech and this coaching situation right now. Seems like every time I get on social media, it's people calling for the staff to get out of there. It's been wild.
I was going to ask about that, Mac, and your point about Herbert is valid, especially in these, in this uncertain world we're living in with COVID. I think when guys opt out this year, it's really tough to say, oh, you shouldn't do that. I mean,
right.
this is a crazy world. But with Fuente, and look, I've seen Virginia Tech fans have kind of been wild in a little bit on Twitter, and I don't blame them necessarily, because they expected more and they expect better than this. So when you look at Fuente, 10-4 his first season. We actually talked about that season this week a little bit.
Yep.
9-4 in 17, 6-7 in 18, 8-5 in 19. He's only finished in the top 25 his first two seasons. That 17 season, they finished literally 24th in the AP poll. Fuente's lost three straight bowl games. Only bowl game he's won was the Belk Bowl in 2016. And now they're 4-4. How much of a hot seat is Fuente on? This is his fifth year. So you know how we feel about year five. Year five generally says, okay, you need to be proven it by then. But you have to factor in COVID too. So it's just tough, right?
It really is. But I think reasons that you can bring up that maybe are outside of COVID is recruiting. And you look at the recruiting classes and you see how downhill those have gotten, and no promise in sight. Now, you could argue and say, well, we couldn't get any kids on campus. We couldn't go anywhere because of COVID. Well, I look at other places like North Carolina and Clemson. They're doing just fine. And they have, you know, teams that recruiting has been, you know, really, really good for those guys. So I think that is where you can bring it in and say, where's the promise? Well, what are we excited about? Like, are we just going in the transfer portal and hoping that we're getting people who were molded and created in other cultures that'll fit our hodgepodge culture that we have here? I don't think that's sustainable. I think it's putting band-aids on your program. Now, we've seen some people have great success with it. Miami this year in particularly. If you go out and get a guy like De'Aaron King, you go out and get some key pieces that can help you right away, sure, but again, the sustainability question is in place. If King goes down, who's behind him? I mean, where's the quarter? Are there quarterbacks coming in that you're excited about? And that's where I think the difference is for Virginia Tech is, you know, what are we looking at? What are we seeing to be excited about? And so it's unfortunate. You know, I thought coming in it was going to be a really great thing for Virginia Tech, but people are you know, getting a little tired of it. So it'll be very interesting to see. What does VT decide to do at the end of this year?
And I think these last three games are huge in that regard, especially Virginia Tech Pitt, especially Virginia Tech Pitt, because the Narduz is fine. Sneaky Pat, as we call him.
Sneaky Pat.
The Narduz is fine. His seat is not hot. So if you're Virginia Tech, you have Pittsburgh, you have Clemson, you have Virginia. If you lose all three, there's a very good chance Fuente is gone. If you can beat Pitt and you can beat your rival in Virginia and just lose to Clemson, then I think he's okay, most likely. So Pittsburgh is a big game for the Hokies this weekend.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm right along those same, you know, thoughts when thinking about this season, how it can end up. But, you know, I guess that's kind of a good thing. You'd rather have control or some control than none at all. So I'm right there with you. I think you perform well in these last three games. You know, you're going to be okay moving forward, but
don't lose to UVA.
Yeah, please don't. No, don't go 2 years in a row.
All right. Fill in the blank Friday, Mac. Technically, I got to check my notes on this for the number. Virginia Tech is favored at Pitt, 3.5. So Pittsburgh is the underdog. Pittsburgh can beat Virginia Tech if...
Pittsburgh can beat Virginia Tech if they get after the quarterback and if they can limit what Hendon Hooker is able to do creative-wise in space. You know, they're going to run them. That they've shown that that's what they do. And if you can take that away, and of course, again, Herbert probably being limited, just assuming and seeing how hamstring injuries work, then that's their entire offense for this game plan going in. So if you do that, you know, it might be a convincing win that what we saw a week ago from Pitt. So I'm very interested to see, can you do that? Can you do it consistently? And can you get home and sack the quarterback?
Vegas, though, Mac. Vegas has Virginia Tech favored.
They always know.
Even though
they were wrong last week, though.
Well, they've been wrong in two weeks
in a row for Virginia Tech. That's right.
Speaking of that.
Vegas, if you're listening, we're keeping track over here.
We are. Speaking of that, Mac, give me Liberty or give me the pack. Number 21, Liberty. You're welcome for that, by the way. Number 21, Liberty at NC State. NC State's 5-3 overall, as we know. Liberty's undefeated. We've talked about this. NC State is favored by 3.5. This is a 7:30 p.m. game on ESPN3. Tell us, Mac, before you even pick the game here, tell me what you love about Malik Willis, the Liberty quarterback.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he is a freak of nature. I've seen him roar up Heisman boards for all the different quarterback awards. I've seen him just fly up these things, and he's been tremendous. I mean, he is literally Mr. Do-It-All for Liberty, the way he's throwing the ball, the way he's running the ball. He makes up for so much of their offense. It really reminds me of our guy from Virginia a year ago and Bryce Perkins, who just has so much impact to the game. 206 yards passing a game, 88 rushing yards a game, and has scored a ton of touchdowns. So he's a guy that absolutely means a ton to his team, a guy that is a difference maker. And if you do not contain him, Kelly, it can be a really long night for your team and your defense.
One thing that you have here about NC State, Mac, and I'm so with you, this is for the dignity of the league, NC State.
It is, right?
I have nothing against Liberty, but we are all Wolfpack fans here because, guys, that's Liberty right. Cannot roll in here and sweep their games against the ACC. They beat Syracuse, they beat Virginia Tech, and now possibly NC State. So let's just talk about NC State for a second. If NC State does what they're supposed to, is this the kind of game, you know, when you talk about Power 5 versus Group of 5, you say, okay, if this Power 5 team does what they're supposed to do, they should win. Is that true in this game, or is Liberty that good?
I think, honestly, Liberty's that good. And that's kind of what I said in the Syracuse game and in the Virginia Tech game. And I was dead wrong. These guys are explosive on offense. Their defense does enough to where they can hang in football games and they can just tire you out. They score a lot of points. They score very quickly. And I think Liberty's really going to take advantage of this NC State defense. NC State is giving up over 34 points a game, over 450 yards. I mean, if you're Liberty, you're licking your chops saying we can do whatever the heck we want on these guys. So, you know, I think that NC State has a huge challenge up front. And can the defense just, can they do anything? And again, I just mentioned it, but the biggest key, and I'm doing a tape on this on Saturday, Kelly, contain the quarterback. It starts, finishes, it is all around him. And if he can, you know, do that zone read, if he can throw it wherever he wants and not have to move and be worried about getting sacked, he's going to light you up. So these guys have to focus in on him. They have to be paying attention because it's going to be a long night for that defense. Now, when you look at NC State, can they hang with them? Can they score? And you know, if it gets to like a shootout, you know, sure, they've shown that. They've shown they can put up 40-plus points, no problem, and really be able to do those type of things. But it gets challenging and you start doubting yourself when you're down to a team like this.
And Liberty gets more confidence as the game goes on.
It could get really interesting quickly. So, you know, again, NC State, please, for the love, for the dignity, for everything ACC, do not let Liberty and Notre Dame just come walking in here and beat all of us. Okay. You know, have some pride about it, Pac.
Look, Liberty and Notre Dame, basically the same. I mean, that's where we are right now, Mac. That's where we are.
Same amount of wins. I mean, I don't see the difference.
I'm assuming that if Liberty beats NC State, that we should officially invite Liberty to join the league on behalf of the Gramlich and McLean pod.
You see, that's the thing though. We're going to say that, and then next year they're going to win like one game.
I know.
And it's like, it's such a random year where they have some transfers and, you know, your coach who's going to leave you this year. Sorry, Liberty fans, if you don't know that's happening, Hugh Freeze is definitely gone.
But Mac, you just signed an extension.
Yeah. That's kind of, you know, sealed the deal for me that he's for sure gone. You know, anytime you say that, anytime you sign some big extension to a G5 coach or a Power 5 administrator or athletic director says, yeah, we're great. He's on good ground.
The
we're not thinking about firing him.
Is the kiss of
fired.
Death.
Exactly. So those two things, it's a wrap.
Okay. Speaking of Liberty, here we go. Fill in the blank Friday. Liberty can beat NC State if...
How weird is this going to sound? Liberty can beat NC State if they just are who they are. Y'all have heard me say this before about teams. It is crazy that I am saying that right now. Pac fans, I know you already hate me. You're going to hate me more, but I'm probably going to be right. Sorry, it's just where your team is right now. But Liberty is the better team, Kelly.
Oh, no.
Isn't that crazy? You know what's going to be even more crazy, Kelly, is when all of us on the huddle pick Liberty to win this game.
And then Pac fans will screenshot it and they will destroy you on Twitter.
It did happen a week ago, UNC fans. Shout out to all the Tar Heels out there. Love you guys.
But again, we explained that. We explained that already, Mac.
Yeah, this one, I think Liberty's going to win.
Okay. All right. Mark it down. Speed round. We've got two games here, Mac. We can go through them speedily, if you would like. Okay. Syracuse at Louisville, 2-1-win ACC teams. I can't believe Louisville is 1-6 in the league.
Isn't that crazy?
And what's
crazy? We need to get Eric Wood back on here and be like, hey, bro, what the heck happened?
We really do. What's crazier is that both these teams are 1-6 and Louisville's a 19 point favorite. Can Syracuse win this game, even though Javon Hawkins is out, Mac?
Is that an indication of how bad Syracuse is or how good Louisville's offense might be? You know, I have no clue. And again, you just mentioned that Javon Hawkins out. Was a little bit surprised by that. He's only a sophomore. And, you know, I haven't seen him on big boards or anything like that. Maybe it's interesting. You know, maybe there's some family things there where we talked with like Hasselbeck. He said, you know, guys have different situations and, you know, maybe he just needed that security of the NFL now. Best of luck to him and excited to, you know, surely see him play at the next level. But, you know, Louisville is going to have to rely on the quarterback run a lot more now. Now, that doesn't seem to be a problem. As we saw a week ago, Cunningham can do that and nearly rush for 200 yards on a good defense as a UVA. But the keys to the game for Louisville, don't turn the ball over. It has been atrocious to see these guys and how they have handled the ball. And for Cuse, the key is to create turnovers, which is a good thing because you lead the country in that. It's so interesting to see these silver linings with these really bad teams that are like nationally relevant and nationally good. So, you know, this game is going to be really strange to see the favorite, the Vegas line, super strange to me. I think it's going to be closer than that.
I would agree with that, Mac. And now our final game of the week, Abilene Christian at
powerhouse.
Virginia.
You have to say powerhouse.
Powerhouse.
Abilene Christian
at Virginia. I have one bit of analysis on this game.
Oh,
and then I will let you get
it.
In with the analysis. Here's my analysis. I hope that poor, sweet Abilene Christian did not have to drive to Virginia because of COVID restrictions, because that is a 1,389 mile drive that would take 20 and a half hours.
Wow.
There you go.
Oh. That sounds like a topic for another show to talk about bus rides or different travel stories that we might have. But that sounds miserable. And by the way, you're doing all that to get whooped by 60
yes.
points.
If you look at who Abilene Christian has played this year,
Virginia, a week ago,
just
they just gave
there
up.
And play.
Yeah. They gave up over 400 yards a week ago rushing. So I think Virginia is kind of licking their chops saying we're going to do whatever we want to do. It'll be good to see that from Virginia, kind of a confidence game and let some, you know, younger people play that we might not know. But yeah, this feels like a weird game.
I really hope they flew, Mac. That's all I got. I really hope they were able to fly.
You know, for Kelly's sake, guys, if we need to start a GoFundMe to make this happen, to get them on a plane, to at least come back if they drove, you know, please donate to the podcast. I'm just kidding. But guys, hey, it was a fun episode, a fun week. Can't wait for Monday to review these games. Surely enough, as we say every week. I'm sure these games are going to deliver like we didn't expect. If you haven't already, go to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, give us a rating, drop a little review. Great to hear from you guys always. Until next time, we'll see y'all.